Okay, we are, I think we left off at the two dots. We're 14 lines down. I think it's 14 lines down. Tan Rabbanan. The last two words by the two dots. Tan Rabbanan. Ein amdim l'spala lo mitoch din v'lo mitoch dvar halacha mitoch halacha psuka. When someone is getting ready to daven, so we want a person to be able to concentrate properly when he's davening. So a person shouldn't sit down to daven right after he finished having a court case, because then we're afraid that during davening he's going to be wondering about the case that he was doing. He shouldn't do it when he was learning halacha, about different laws that are going into place, because we're afraid that then during davening again he's going to be thinking about what are the laws that he was learning about. Elam yitoch halacha psuka, you should only you should go into davening learning something that's very clear cut, that no, like there's no disagreement about it at all, that a Jewish law that everyone agrees upon. And the Gemara says, what are the examples of something that's clear cut and that no one disagrees upon? It's like Rab Zera, Dam Rab Zera, Benos Yisrael, Hechmiru al Atzman, that Jewish women were stringent upon themselves. Shafila Rose, Tipas Dam, Kachardal, even if they see just a drop of menstrual blood, when they're in need, if they just have a drop of blood that they see that's the size of a mustard seed, Yoshvos Alam Shiva Nakim, they keep 7 days of Tahara. Because the rule is like this, that Midoraisa, from the Torah, if a woman sees blood when it's time for her cycle, so she, and I'm an accountant, so I may get this mixed up, so you know, if I go into tax laws while I'm discussing this, just ignore it. But a woman, if it's her period and she sees blood, so midoraisa, for 7 days, she has to count 7 days and then she's tahar. Doesn't make a difference if she sees blood every single day. As long as there's some sort of stoppage before the 7 days are up, midoraisa, she's tahar, and that's the end of it. And if a woman is, but then if a woman sees blood when it's not her time, when it's not her period, which is called, she's a zava, okay? And if she sees 3 days in a row, then she has to count for 7 days. She has to have 7 days of not seeing any blood, of being clean, and then she's able to go to the mikvah. So Benos Yisrael have accepted upon themselves that even if they see on day six, or day seven, when they're counting, and they were clean before that, they'll go another 7 days. Even if they see a drop of blood, they'll go another 7 days. That is a clear-cut halacha. That's one of the examples that the Gemara gives, that is a clear-cut halacha, that you could study that before you go to daven. The second one is, Rava Amar Kihad Rav Hoshia. The Amar Rav Hoshia, Marim Adam Al Tvua, so that a person can play trickery with his grains. If he wants to be able to use all of his grains and not have to give miser on it, so the way to do it is he plays a trick. What does he do? That he brings it into the house while it's still in its husk, while he hasn't yet cleared off the stuff off of the wheat. Because that way, the halacha is that you don't have to give miser on something until you've cleaned the, you clean the stuff off the wheat, whatever it is. Chaff, thank you very much. Okay, so if you clean the chaff off the wheat and you have to bring it in through the front door, then you're chayav to give miser. You have to separate out miser from the wheat that you brought into the house. So if a person wants to do trickery, what he should do is don't take the chaff off of the wheat, bring it into your house, bring it in through the back door even. Then it doesn't see the front door of the house. It's not considered to have seen the front of the house. And then you're able to feed your animal, because it's considered to be snack food. Anytime you feed your animals, it's considered to be snack food. So that way, the person worked his way around the obligation to have to give miser by doing this quote-unquote trickery. A third example of a clear-cut halacha that no one disagrees about, that you could learn right before you go into davening. If someone draws blood out from an animal that was sanctified, that was supposed to be brought for a carbon for kachim, aser bahana, it is aser umelimba, and you're going to do me'ilah. The halacha is that you are not allowed to use kachim for your own personal use, but normally for blood, that doesn't apply. There is no such concept as using blood for your, there's no, it's called me'ilah. If someone uses something that's kachim when he's not supposed to, it's called me'ilah. So there's no concept like that when it comes to blood, that once you shecht an animal and you have the blood, there's no me'ilah with it. But in those days, if they used to think that letting blood was healthy. So if someone lets before they shechted the animal, if they let blood out from the animal, that blood is usher and hana, and if someone uses it, that's going to be me'ilah. Those are three examples that are, you know, I don't know, those are the ones that the Gemara picked that would be simple, that no one would, no one argues about it. I know I don't disagree about it when I hear it. So, okay. Rabbanon Avdi v'masnisin, Rabbanon acted like the Mishnah, which said that someone is only able to daven after he's already taken some time beforehand to get into the right frame of mind to do it. Ravashi Avid Kibraisin, and Ravashi would do like the Braisa, that he would only go into davening after he would do some sort of clear-cut halacha before he would daven, and then he would start davening. Ton Rabbanon. Ein avdim l'spalel, a person shouldn't daven Shmona Esrei, lo mitoch atzvos, when he's sad, lo mitoch atzvos, or if he's feeling lazy, lo mitoch sok, or if he's laughing, lo mitoch sich, or if he's talking, lo mitoch kalos rosh, or if he was just not taking things seriously at that time, lo mitoch dvarim b'talim, or if he's just doing anything that really is not pertaining to davening, lo mitoch simcha shel mitzvah, you should go into davening Shmona Esrei, you should have the joy of the mitzvah that you're doing of davening. That's when a person should be going into davening. Similarly, when a person is leaving his friend, you shouldn't do it just talking again about stupidities, or just laughter, again, just things that are not serious, and not something that really has no importance at all. But the way that a person should leave his friend is he should leave him by giving him over a Dvar Torah. He should leave him by giving over some sort of halacha. Shekain matzina b'neviim harishonim, that we find that by the neviim, shesimu divrayim b'divrei shavach v'tachanunim, that the neviim, even if the prakim of Navi are filled with where they're giving mussar to the Bnei Yisrael, and they're talking about all the sad things that are happening, the bad things that have happened, but they end the Navi on a high note, they end it with saying something that's more joyous. So again, I don't know exactly, the Gemara is saying that when you're leaving someone, it shouldn't be just like, just with idleness, without having anything. I mean, there's a benefit, there's a time and a place for everything. So a person should really, you know, again, if you feel that your friend needs it, then I don't think there's anything wrong with it. But it's best if you could leave him with some sort of words of Torah when you're leaving. V'chein tana mari bar b'reid Rav Huna, b'reid Rav Yirmiya bar Abba, that he said, ayipata adam mechaber alam mitoch dvar halacha, the same thing that a person shouldn't leave when he's learning something that has to do with halacha, shemitoch kach zochrei, because if you leave your friend and you leave him with the dvar Torah, you leave him with the halacha, that way he's going to remember him more than if you just discuss with him what was the score of the game this afternoon. That's just something that's going to slip from his mind. Kihad Rav Kahana, alvai l'Rav Simi bar Ashi, Bipumnahara ad Beit Nisa de Bavel. We have that Rav Kahana who was accompanying Rav Shimi Barashi from Pumnahara until Beit Nisa, which was a place that was in Bavel. Kimatul Hassan, when they got there, Amar Lehi said to him, so Rav Kahana said to him, Mar Vadai da Amri Inchi, is it true what people say? Hani Tznisa de Bavel Isnu Me Adam Rishon Vad Hasha, that these palm trees that we have that are here, they have been around since the time of Adam Harishon. So Amar Lehi, he said to him, Adarkon Milsa de Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, you remind me something that Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina said. Dam Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, Mai Dechsiv, Be'eretz Asher Lo Avar Ba Ish V'lo Yashav Adam Sham, that you're going to go into a land in which no person has passed and no one has settled. So the Gemara asks, V'chima Acher De Lo Avar Heich Yashav, if no one passed through there, of course no one settled there. If you never had someone that passed through a piece of land that's somewhere in this world, and you say that no one's ever walked here before, then of course there isn't going to be a settlement there. So what does the Pasuk mean when it says both things, that a person didn't pass through there and it wasn't settled? The second part is redundant. You don't need it. That when Adam Arishon, when the world was created, and Adam Arishon said that there's going to be a settlement in this place over here, in Baltimore, Maryland, whatever he called it then, he says there's going to be a settlement that's going to take place. That place, that meant that it was ultimately destined that it was going to have a settlement that was going to be there. And any land which Adam Arishon did not say is going to be settled, then it was not settled. Rav Mordechai Avel Rav Simi Bar Ashi Mahargonya Adbe Kipi, and he accompanied him, Ramlala Abe Dura, and some say that he took it to Beit Dura, and the Mefarshim say they're not sure exactly why the Gemara brought this down. It's not saying anything. It doesn't say that he learned any halacha with him. It doesn't say that he did any Torah with him. It just said that he accompanied him. So it's not really clear, exactly why the Gemara put that in here. Okay. Now we are going to learn the Gemara that's going to be speaking about Chana, which we're going to talk about as we get into it. Tan Rabbanan. That when someone who's davening, he has to have his he has to have his mind towards Shemayim, towards Hashem. Avashalomer, similar to the way to remember that. Tachin libam takshivaz nacha. That when Klal Yisrael, when we have in mind in our heart, then Hashem, kaviyachal, Hashem, so to speak, bends his ear to listen to what we're saying. So we first have to get in our mind straight what we want to say, and then Hashem listens to what we have to, Hashem's going to listen to what we have to say. Tanya am Rabbi Yehuda, kachayam in hago shel Rabbi Kiva, that Rabbi Kiva, who was the Rav, wherever he were in the city that he was, kishayim is following material, when he was davening with the shul, he would daven very quickly. He didn't want everyone to have to wait for him to daven a long Shmona Esrei. So when he was davening in, with the minyan, with the shul, which if you notice in the Gemara, very often it seems to speak that they didn't always daven with the minyan. It says when he davened with the minyan and when he was there with the shul, so he would daven. He didn't want them to have to wait, that they would have to wait for him to daven. So he would daven very quickly. He would finish up. Because he didn't want to bother everyone. When he was davening by himself, let's say in his own house, a person could leave him in one corner where he started davening, and he would find him in another corner. And what does that mean? Why would you leave him in one corner to start davening Shmona Esrei, and then you'd find him in another one? Because he would bow down. In those days, when they would bow down, they didn't bow the way that we do. But they would bow down, they would actually do the full, you know, laying down on their faces like we do on Yom Kippur. So Rabbi Kiva, he would do so many of them during Shmona Esrei that he would, like, if you would keep doing that, you're going to end up moving. So he had so much kavanah and so much intent when he was davening. He got so into it that he ended up being in another corner of the room. And Tosos points out that you're not able to just bow down at the end of every bracha. You're not supposed to do that. We learned that you're not supposed to bow at the end of every bracha, but he says he did it during the bracha. He was so taken with emotion when he was davening to Hashem that he would bow down in the middle of the bracha, which that's not a problem. Okay. Next Gemara. A person, when he's davening, should always daven in a house that has windows. Shenemar v'kivan psichon lay. That it has windows open to it. That when it was... that it was talking about, Daniel, that the government had decreed that the king had said that the only person that people could daven, that could go to for requests was to the king himself. And Daniel didn't stick with that. Daniel kept davening to Hashem. And how did they know that Daniel was still davening? Because they saw that he had windows. The windows were open, and they saw that he was davening. So then they took him. That's the whole story, that they threw him into the den of lions. So you see that you're supposed to have windows where you're davening. And I think they said that very often you find that shuls, not all of them, but a lot of shuls have 12 windows because of the 12 shvatim. The Gemara then says another brisa which says that you might think that a person could daven all day long if he wants to. But we learn from Daniel that he only davened three times a day. So he davened Shachris Min Chamarv. That's the only you might think you could daven Shmon Esrei as many times as you want. We learned from Daniel that he only davened three times. So you might think that that's only when he went into Galus. But before he went into Galus, when he was still in Eretz Yisrael, he davened many Shmon Esrei throughout the day. Gemara says, no, that's not the case. Kfar Nemar. Di hava aved min kadmas dina, that he used to do this. See, before he came into Galus, he also would daven Shmon Esrei only three times a day. Yachol yispal al adam l'chol ruach shiritzah. So now you might think that a person could daven in any direction that he wants to. The Gemara says, Tamalomer, the pasuk says, neged Yerushalayim, that he would daven either towards Yerushalayim, or if you didn't know which way Yerushalayim was, as we learned earlier, a person's supposed to have in his mind that he's davening to Yerushalayim. Yeah, the Gemara then says, you might think, you might say to yourself, I got a very busy day today, so let me just daven three Shmon Esrei right now. Chachris, let me daven Chachris Min Chamarv. I'm going to daven three Shmon Esrei right now and knock it out. So Gemara says, Kvar Mufresh Eide David, Tichsev Erev, Vavokar Vitzarayim, you do it in the evening, in the morning, and in the afternoon. Yachol Yashmiya Kolo V'Tfilah. So now you might think that a person is supposed to hear what he's saying when he's davening, because halacha is that you're not supposed to be disturbing other people when you're davening, rather you're supposed to do it quietly. We learn from Chana, Shenemar, the Kolo Lo Yishma, that her voice was not heard. And we're going to, again, the Gemara, I think we're going to get to it tonight. We're going to talk a little bit about Chana. You might think that a person should first say, we have the first three brachos of Shemona Esrei, and then we have the middle ones, which is where we ask for Hashem for refuah and parnasa and shmakul. We ask all for different tefillos that we ask Hashem for. So you might think that first a person should ask Hashem for his wants and his needs, and then he should praise Hashem, saying the first three brachos of Magen Avram and Mechayim Esim and Kel HaKadosh. So Gemara says, that to listen to the song and to the prayer, Rina zu tefila, that Rina is tefila, which means that you're first you praise Hashem, tefila zu bakasha, and tefila is the request. So first you say the first three brachos, which are where we praise Hashem, and then you do the personal request you do after you said that. You're not supposed to say anything once you say Gal Yisrael. You're not supposed to say anything between that and Shmona Esrei. As we've said, the Gemara has said earlier, you're supposed to be Somech Gula L'Tfila. You're supposed to connect redemption with davening. Aval Achar Tfila, but when you come to the end of Shmona Esrei, Afilu Kaseder Vidu Shal Yom Kippur Amomer, a person could go into the Vidu of Yom Kippur. He could really take as much time as he wants. He could ask for what he wants once he gets to Elokein Tzar. He could say whatever he wants at that point. Itmar Nami, Amar Avchia, Barashi, Amar Rav, Aval Pisha, Amru Shaul, Adam Tzracha, B'Shmei Atfila. Even though we said that a person could say whatever he wants during Shema Kolenu, Imba Lomar Achar Tfila, So Afilo Kaseda Shiyami Kapurim Amar. But if he wants, he should say it really after Shmona Esrei. And the Mefarshim say that really a person, if he has a lot of Bakashos that he has, he shouldn't do it in Shema Kolenu, because in Shema Kolenu you're limited. You're not able to answer any. You can't answer Kedusha. You can't answer Ameni Heishmei Rabba if you're a middle Shmona Esrei. But if a person is already in Elokein Tzar and he's saying whatever tefillos that he has, requests that he has to Hashem, then he is able to answer Kedusha. He is able to answer Heishmei Rabba. So you should say it at that point.
Why would we think that?
The logic? I don't know. A person, maybe he's going to be more heartfelt if he's it's one thing to praise Hashem. It's one thing to praise Hashem, but if a person has someone in mind that needs a refuah, okay, they want to just get straight into it and they want to be able to just pour out their hearts to Hashem. That's the praise part is it will come, but first they're going to first make the request, because that's really what's going to what they feel strongest about. That's their deepest bakasha. Okay, now we're going to discuss the halachos that we learned from the way that Chana davened. Amar Rav Hamnuna, Kama Hilchasa Gavarsa Ika Lamashma Mehani Kroy Dechana. There are many halachos that we learned from Chana. Chana was the mother of Shmuel, and what happened was is Chana was not able to have any children. So she went with her husband. When he went to be Ola Regal, he went to Yerushalayim. She came with him, and she went to daven, and she was davening, and Eli walks in, and he sees this woman that seems to be whispering, and he thinks that she's drunk, he thinks that she's drunk, and she says, "I'm not drunk. You don't know what you're talking about." And he realizes that he made a mistake, and he gives her a bracha, and from that Shmuel HaNavi was born. That was Chana was the mother of Shmuel HaNavi. So the Gemara is going to go through the Psukim now and discuss the halachos that we learn now from the way that she was davening and how a person is supposed to daven when he sings Shmona Esrei. So the Gemara said the in Shmuel it says v'chanehi medaberas haliba. Chana was speaking in her heart. Mikalam espalat tzarach shechavin libos. From here we learn out that a person who's davening has to, as we said earlier, he has to get it in his heart that he's speaking directly to Hashem. Then the pasuk says, "Raks vaseha knows that only her lips moved." Mikanlam ispala shiachto pesvaso. We learn from here that someone who's davening has to pronounce the words with your lips. It's not enough just to think Shmona Esrei; you actually have to say the words quietly to yourself when you're davening. Mikolo liyishamea, and her voice was not heard. Mikan sheashulag biyakolo betfiloso. We see from here that a person is not able to raise his voice when he's davening. He has to be cognizant to the people that are around him. So a person should daven Shmona Esrei, but they should not be raising their voice so that they're going to be disturbing others. Vayachshavel Eli l'shikora, and Eli thought that she was drunk. Mikan sheshikor asulispal. From here we learn that someone who is drunk is not allowed to daven. And we will finish. I think we're going to stop here and we'll finish the story of Chana tomorrow night.